You can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on the joy and the power of prayer. The joy and the power of prayer. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing." And we know that that word careful is better translated anxious or worried. Right? We're not to be anxious or worried for anything. But in everything, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So God sets in stark contrast here in this verse that we're not to be anxious for anything. It says be careful or anxious for nothing. And then the but in everything, right? So as opposed to not to being careful for nothing, instead in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, right? And in this verse, it talks about prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, right? And prayer is simply just talking to God, right? At its base definition, prayer is just talking to God, right? We believe that God is there. We heard from him in manifestations tonight that wherever we are, he's there with us, right? So if he's always there and he's ever present, then we can talk to him wherever we are, right? And that's what prayer is. It's your ability to talk to God. You have direct access to God, to have a conversation with him. He listens to you because you're his son or daughter. And supplication is to make a specific request about something, right? So when you talk to God, you can make a specific request about something, right? And sometimes that's something that you might need or guidance that you might have need of. Like, you can ask God to show you stuff. You can ask God to provide you with things. You can ask him to take care of a scenario for you. Whatever it is that you might be worried or anxious about, you can ask God instead. And then it says, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Right? So thanking God for things is another form of prayer. Right? When you talk to God, you can thank him and you can praise him for things. You can have a conversation with him and just say, thanks God so much for, you know, this wonderful home that I live in, or this great family that I'm a part of, or for taking care of my needs and putting food on the plate. Right? We can always be thankful for what God does. And it says in verse 7, when we do this, right, when we pray, when we take everything to God, there's a promise. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it's bigger than you can even comprehend. The peace of God shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, right? That's the promise. So prayer is super powerful, right? There might be times where we get anxious about stuff or we get worried about stuff and it starts swirling around in our brains. But God says that when we pray, when we take it to him with prayer, with requests, with supplication, with thanksgiving, that the peace of God will guard our brains, right? It'll guard what's on our hearts. It'll help us to no longer be anxious or worried. It's powerful. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Because we all deal with stuff, right? We all have an adversary. We know that this world's not perfect. So we've all got stuff we've got to deal with. But our response should always be to pray, to take it to God. There's power in that. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it says, cast all the little stuff to God. Yeah. Make sure you hang on to that big stuff. No. It says, cast all your care upon Him, for He, what? Cares for you. He cares for you. Right? Why should we give all of our stuff to God? Why should we cast it all to Him? Because He cares about you. Right? It's not like you say, hey, God, can you take care of this? And He's like, don't bother me. I got other plans right now. Right? God says, I'll take care of that for you. Sure. Cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. God always cares what's on your heart. And He wants you to give your cares to Him. He tells us to do it in His Word. If God didn't put it here in the Bible, right, then it wouldn't be true. But He wants us to cast our care to Him because He cares about us. He always cares what's on your heart, right? Because you're His kid, right? When your kid has a need or your kid is hurting, you want to take care of them. You want to do whatever you can to take care of that situation. And God is just like that with us. He wants us to cast our cares to Him because He really cares about you. Go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And we can joy and rejoice knowing that God cares about us. Not just about the little things. And conversely, not just about the big things, right? You know, sometimes we give God like the biggest deals in our lives, but we're sitting there scrambling trying to figure out how to take care of all the little details because we're like, you know, God doesn't really care about that. No, God cares about all of it. He cares for you. In James 5:16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Right? We can take care of each other by praying for one another. Praying for someone else, the Bible calls that in some places intercession, right? Which is another form of prayer. When you pray for someone else, right? You pray for a need that someone else has. Maybe they need a new job, or they need a new car, they've got a broken heart, or they've got physical needs, right? They need healing. When you pray for someone else, you're making intercession on their behalf. And God says that we're supposed to pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? And the word availeth there means that it accomplishes what it's set to accomplish. It works, right? It's a force. So the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It accomplishes a lot. It's a force. It's powerful, right? Raise your hand if you're righteous. Okay. Well, you are. You're a son or daughter of God. You're righteous. It says so. And so the effectual fervent prayer of you accomplishes a lot. It's very powerful. And effectual fervent means that it's like, fervent is like white hot, right? Right? When you're really putting your all into prayer, when you're given time and you're devoting time to do it, right? That's going to accomplish a lot. It works. It's powerful. And it's hugely impactful. Go to Luke chapter 22, right? And we can't forget about how impactful that is, not only for our own lives, to bring us that peace that passes understanding, but in the lives of one another. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, This is Jesus Christ talking to Peter. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon," referring to Peter, "behold, Satan has desired to have you." Right? And the word "you" there is the Greek word hymas, H-Y-M-A-S. And it means all of you. It's a plural "you." It's not just Peter. Okay, the context here is they're at the Last Supper. Okay, so they're gathered around with Jesus. Jesus is talking specifically to Peter here during that meal. And he says, "Behold, Satan has desired to have you, you all, that he may sift you as wheat." Which is a fun expression, right? What does "sift you as wheat" mean to any of us, right? But in the Lands and Times and Bibles, they would take these big, I don't know if you've ever gone and panned for gold down by the river, like as a little kid crafts, right? You know, you put all the mud in there and you shake it out and you see all the stones and the stuff that's left, right? So they had these big things with these little grates on them, and they would toss them up and the wheat would fall. It would blow the chaff away and you'd be left with the grain, right? And so that was the sifting. It would separate the wheat, the kernels, the grain, from the chaff, the everything else that came on the stalk. Okay, so the expression "sift you as wheat" involves a separation. Okay, and so what he's telling Peter here is that Satan is desiring to separate you all, to break you apart. Okay, to shake your believing. That's another way to look at it, because they shook the stuff. But in either case, it means to separate them, to break them apart. That was, Jesus was warning Peter, hey, he knew his end was near, and Satan's going to come after you, right? He's going to attack you guys. He's going to try to separate you. He's going to try to shake your believing. Verse 32, his response, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith," or thy believing, what? "Fail not," that they don't get shook in their believing, that it doesn't completely fail them, right? "And when thou art converted," or restored, "strengthen thy brethren." We'll go ahead and read the next couple of verses. I was just going to explain them, but it's cool. "And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." Right? This is Peter's response. Not me. I'm ready to go with you into prison or to death, whatever it takes. Peter was a loyal guy. But we know what happened, because Jesus Christ tells him so in verse 34. And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me," right? So Peter had a great heart. He really wanted to be there for Jesus Christ, but we know that he ends up denying him six times, right? And he ends up very brokenhearted about it. He feels super guilty about it. And, you know, a lot happens after Jesus Christ is crucified and resurrected. Peter goes back to doing what?
Fishing.
Yeah, right? He goes back to fishing. And so Jesus Christ, you know, God gave him revelation. He knew it was coming for Peter and the other disciples. But he tells him here that, you know, Satan's going to try to attack you. He's going to try to get you to separate. He's going to try to shake your believing. And he prayed for him. That was his response. Verse 32 again. "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted," when thou art restored, when he came back, right, after Jesus Christ met him on the seashore, said, "Feed my sheep, strengthen thy brethren." And we see that Peter becomes, you know, a great leader among the apostles and among the first century church. So we get to see the fruit of this prayer, right? Jesus Christ prayed for him. He interceded on his behalf. And we get to see the fruit of that pan out, right? And when we pray for each other, it makes a difference. It makes a difference, right? They could have easily gotten so shook that they just walked away entirely. But Jesus Christ prayed for them, right? Intercession is a big deal. Intercession is standing between two things, right? And in this case of praying, it's, you know, God, and in this case, Peter, right? The adversary. So it was Jesus Christ standing between the adversary and Peter. He went to God and said, you know, I pray that this doesn't, you know, that his believing isn't shaken, right? That his faith stands. And it makes a difference. Go to John 17, verse 12. Right? And we've all seen great things come to pass when people get prayed for. Right? We've seen miraculous healings over the years. I was talking to Jimmy Allender at the Men's Fellowship this weekend, and, you know, he shared with me that when he was 18 years old, it was basically 2 days after his 18th birthday, he had just started having crazy chest pains. He was supposed to go out with a bunch of his friends, and he's just like, I'm not really feeling well. And they're like, no, come on, come on. And he's like, I don't know, guys. And he passed out. And they took him to the hospital, and they started doing all kinds of tests on him and everything, and they found out that his heart was in really bad shape, and they basically were looking to put him on a transplant list. And the doctors had said to his parents, like, you know, you can, like, because they were like, what do we do? How do we get, is there anything we can do? And the doctor said, like, the way these lists work is, like, if you make a big donation to something, you can get moved up the list. If you can, you know, do stuff like that, you can maybe get moved up the list. So, like, his dad, Jimmy Sr., was ready to, like, sell the house to, like, get him moved up this transplant list. And, like, he had, like, a wealthy aunt, and they were calling all these people that to see if there was, like, something they could do. I mean, they were ready to do whatever. And, Jerry came and prayed for him in the hospital, and the next day they had another EKG that they were going to do before, you know, to keep monitoring him. And they did the EKG, and they were like, you got to go back to bed. We're going to reschedule the EKG for tomorrow because something's not right. And so they're like, okay. So they come back. He sleeps it off. They do the EKG test the next day, and they say, you got to go back to bed. We're going to do this. We're doing it one more time tomorrow. And they're like, what's going on? And they're like, it's not reading right. But what they was reading was that he was okay. So they scheduled the third EKG on the third day in a row. And he was fine. They were like, okay, it's been three tests. Everything's fine. And the doctors could not believe the result. Like, they weren't sure what to do. They were like, this doesn't make any sense. You know, the results keep coming back clean, but after the third day, they discharged him as fine, and he was completely healed, and he's never had issues since. But, like, his dad was ready to sell everything that they had to get him a heart transplant, and that's because someone prayed for him, right? Someone prayed for him. So it's a really, really big deal. I mean, what, there are thousands of stories like this, but we know it makes a difference. John 17, verse 13. This was Jesus Christ's prayer, as recorded here in John 17. One of the many prayers of Jesus Christ. But in verse 13 it says, and now I come to thee, talking to God, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He was praying for the apostles. I have given them my word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, saying, my prayer is not that you should take the apostles out of the world, this world that hates them, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil, and that word evil is translated the evil one. Right? So his prayer wasn't that God would take them out of this world and spare them, you know, the evil that they're facing, the hatred that they're facing, but that God would guard them or keep them from the evil one. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I, am not of the world. Sanctify them, set them apart. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Again, speaking of the apostles, just like you sent me out to preach, I have sent them out too. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. I'm not just praying for them alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Right? Through the word that gets preached from them, he's praying for those people also. And that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Right? And so in verse 20, he's not just praying for the apostles, but he's praying for everybody who would believe on him. And that's us. Right? Jesus Christ was praying for us while he walked the earth, for everyone that would believe on him. In verse 22, and the glory which thou givest me have I given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast what? Loved me. So the world, right? The world may hate us, right? The world may think we don't make any sense or we're just foolish or whatever it is. But God loves us. God loves us the way that he loved his only begotten son, right? And Jesus Christ prayed for us, for the people that would believe on him thousands of years ago. Right? And so we're still feeling the effects of a prayer made thousands of years ago. Right? That's how important it is. That's how powerful it is. Right? In verse 23 again, I in them. Right? Is it Christ in us? Yeah. And it's God in Christ in us. I in them and thou in me. Right? He prayed for that. That we who would believe, it would be Christ in us. That's pretty amazing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So yeah, there's a lot of power in prayer. And it's cool because it wasn't that like, hey, just get me out of this mess. Take me out of here. Take me out of this crummy world that stinks. Right? It was that God would take care of you while you're here. Right? We're meant to be here. We're meant to do his word and to accomplish things. We're meant to hold it forth and to speak it. Right? We're not just meant to, like, get out of here as quick as we can. But prayer helps make all of this stuff just so much easier. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Right? And so the world isn't going to think much of us. You tell somebody who doesn't believe God or doesn't want anything to do with it that you're praying, they don't think it matters or amounts to anything, right? But that's not what's important, right? What's important is that we keep at it, that we do keep at it in prayer, right? God isn't calling all the smartest celebrities in the world and all the most famous people in the world, right? He called you and me. He called us. we're the ones who can operate that power. And that's a great privilege, right? So you can ask somebody, a total stranger, somebody you're witnessing the word to, maybe a coworker, can I pray for you? Right? And if they don't want anything to do with it, it's their loss. But if they do, man, what a difference you're going to make in their life. What an impact you're going to make for them. Right? That's something that you can do for them. Go to Romans chapter 8. And so if they don't want it, they don't want it. It's their loss. But if they do, you're going to make a huge impact in their life. Romans 8:15. For you have, excuse me, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that Abba is like a, it's like a childlike tenderness to the Father, right? Where God's just like, you're just God's little tiny boy or girl, and it's great tenderness in that word. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We've got Holy Spirit. That's what makes us God's kids. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And then jump down to verse 26. So we've got that Spirit, that Holy Spirit. That's what makes us sons and daughters of God. And in verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. What is our infirmity? Well, it says so. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And what that boils down to or really means in plain English is that when we speak in tongues, it's praying by the Spirit. It's perfect prayer. And we might not know what to pray for by our senses, but we can always speak in tongues. And when we do, part of what speaking in tongues does is makes intercession. Right? It makes intercession. So we might not always know what to pray for, but we can always speak in tongues. We can always speak in tongues. Right? And God knows what's on your mind when you speak in tongues. Right? So maybe you don't know what, you know, your best friend is going through right now, but you can tell that they're hurting. Well, you can speak in tongues for them. You can think about them while you speak in tongues, and God knows you are praying perfectly for them, whatever it might be. Right? And that covers it. You don't need to know the specifics because you're praying perfectly. Go to Psalm chapter 5, verse 1. Right? So it's a force. Making intercession, even when you don't know what totally is going on. That's, think about how crazy powerful that is. Psalm chapter 5. Verse 1. I just think it's so cool that God gives us a way to pray for people even when we have no idea what it is we need to be praying about. You think he wants us to pray for each other? He gives us the ability to do it when we don't even know what it is we're supposed to be praying for. But we can keep praying. Psalm chapter 5, verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. And the phrase look up there in the Hebrew is wait expectantly. Wait expectantly. So in the morning, the first thing you do when you wake up, say hi to God. Acknowledge Him. Good morning, God. How you doing today? Let's have a great day together. You can ask Him for help. You know, hey, give me strength and energy today, or help me out with that project at work today, or help me get all these errands done. Show me what I need to do to make the best use of my time, whatever. Show me who I need to speak the word to. Right? Just have that conversation with God when you wake up. Start the day with Him. Start the day with Him. And then wait expectantly. Right? Expect to receive something from Him. Expect to see that prayer answered. Expect to see God do something for you throughout the day. Right? Wake up and pray. Psalm 62. Start your day with it. Before you get your coffee, before you even get out of bed. That's what putting God first looks like. Recognizing Him, talking to Him right away. That blesses Him so much. Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Right? And that's a great reminder. Here David's reminding himself. My soul, talking to himself, wait thou only upon God, right? Which means only look to God for what you need. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to somebody else to help it. Wait only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Let's expect things from God. Expect Him to answer those prayers, right? That should be our walk and our expectation with God. He wants us to cast all our cares to Him because He cares about us. Right? So we should expect that He'll answer them. If He cares about us, He wants to answer those prayers. Go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians 4, 2. Does anybody know what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says? One of the shortest verses in the Bible.
Pray without ceasing.
That's right. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean literally never stop praying. You have other things to do. You actually have to eat and sleep. But it does mean pray a lot. Pray a lot. Make sure it's a vital part of your day. Always pray. And we're going to close in Colossians 4:2. It says, continue in prayer. And the word continue there can better be translated, devote yourself to. Devote yourself to. That's what the general meaning is in the Greek for that word continue. It's something that you just are always at. You're always doing it. You're continuing it. Devote yourself to prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, right? So keep that relationship with God vital by talking to Him and mix in that thanksgiving, right? That you're just telling God the wonderful things that you're thankful for. All that stuff will bring great peace to your brains, right? And that's the promise from God, that you'll have that peace that passes understanding, that He'll hear you, that He'll answer those prayers, and that when you pray for other people, it makes an impact, it makes a difference. Right? There's great joy and great power in prayer. And God wants us to devote ourselves to it, to do it a lot, and always make it a vital part of our day.